Our hearts are full with thanksgiving. We say thank you, Lord Jesus. We do ask and receive this morning that there's clarity as God's word is taught. There is clarity as God's word is taught. There is no confusion as God's word is brought forth to us this morning. Our hearts are receptive to receive the truth of your word. Our hearts are receptive to receive your word. The truth of God's word is taught with accuracy and in precision. And at the end of today's meeting, as saints, we are edified and Christ alone is glorified. Amen, 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 amen. Generosity. Look at anybody and say generosity. Generosity is the topic for today. Hallelujah. Glory to God. You know, so we've come to establish certain truths from God's word. We've done, you know, hours of teaching concerning what you call the tithing, what you call the tithe as a principle. We've done hours of teaching concerning what you call the first fruits. Yeah, we've talked about how those practices point to Christ. You know, we've tried to dismantle some myths about the Christian faith. You know, myths like, if you are suffering, check your offering. You know, I've come to understand that's just a, you know, or if your life is tight, it's because you're not paying your tithes. You know, everything around us in Nigeria disproves that statement. Are we together? Yeah, so we've done teachings and teachings upon that. And we've come to understand that, you know, when it comes to giving, it is one of the most controversial topics in the Christian faith. Yeah, it's one of the most controversial topics in the Christian faith. So, a lot of people, because they are trying to explain what God's word says about giving, they begin to go the extra mile and say things like, you're not supposed to give to your brethren in church, you're not supposed to give to the church, you know, you'd rather take your money and to go to the NGO and drop it and start NGO and things like that. But for us to say that scripture doesn't teach about giving is for us to live in denial. Are we here? To say or to teach that scriptures, scriptures, the epistles, Jesus, they did not teach about giving, you know, we are living in denial. But the difference is that we don't teach giving as a means to an end, but as an end in itself. Are we here? Yeah? So can a Christian decide to pack on his salary in a month and give it out? You can. But you must know that once you drop everything, what happens to the money? It has gone, right? Yeah, so if you have 100 naira, you give 50 naira as offering, for instance, 50 naira has gone. God is not owing you 100 fools. Have we done justice to that in the last 2 months? You sure? Yeah, and we had a question and answer session the last Sunday I met in last year. Last year, we were able to clear some questions. You know, after this generosity teaching again, if you still have more questions that you think we have not answered in the entire series, which should last up to about 16 teachings or 20 teachings, you know, reach out to us. We are open to explain God's word. Are we together? Because in your mind, you might have questions in your mind. But how come he walked? How come? Yeah, and we always say something that he walked doesn't mean it is right. Are we together? That it is walking doesn't mean it is right. Yeah, now, can a man go into the exam hall and carry an you know what they call Rijo? You know what Rijo? What the English guys call Expo. Yeah, Expo is the Greek word for Orijo. Orijo is the Yoruba word for Expo. Yeah, so you know what Expo is? Where you squeeze paper. You know, squeeze paper that has your full note. You know, some of us can write small, but we don't know. Even it's time for exam that you're not ready for. You squeeze it and write it. You realize that one paper like this will take three chapters. How you wrote it, we don't know. But you know, you have shorthand. Do you understand? Yeah. But the fact that you go for exam all from 100 level, 200 level, 300 level, and nobody caught you. Is he working? Is he working? Is what? Oh, Naga. Yeah. So he's working, right? Does it mean what you are doing is right? So that results are evidently seen in your life doesn't mean that you are doing what God would have you do. So what does that mean? God can call you to minister to the poor, or let me say it this way. God can call you to go and start a local church or a church in Zamfara. Yes? And you go to Zamfara. And you stay in Zamfara for 3 years. And you cannot boast 5,000 naira in your account. Right? And God can call a man. Yeah, to leave Abuja City. But he remains in Abuja City, and every Sunday, somebody gives him nothing less than 2 million naira every Sunday. Who is richer? The one in Abuja. Who is in disobedience? The one in Abuja. So you can be, let me say this, you might not like me for this. You can be in disobedience to God's will and still be very wealthy. Are we together? Yeah, you can be in God's will and be suffering. What is the blessedness of obedience? It is in the fact that a man obeys. Are we together? Let me say it again. What is the blessedness of obedience? It is in the fact that a man obeys. So obedience should be as an end in itself, not a means to an end. Are we together? Yeah. So when we teach about Christian giving, your obedience to God's word must be as an end in itself. Not, this is January, yeah, I want God to give me a contract by March, by April. What I'll do is that, I'll go and quote that scripture that says, test me to prove that I'm God. Yeah, and you drop everything. Now, can you drop everything in the church that you have? Yes, you can. In fact, well, in the course of this teaching, we'll see something that in the book of Acts, the template that we see for giving is that people who have possession or people who had possessions sold their possessions to bring their money to the apostles' feet so that those who don't have amongst them will have something to eat. Are we together? Yeah, we see that template in scriptures. But you must know that it's going. Bye-bye to my money in the name of Jesus. Are we together? Are we together? So why are we painstakingly doing this? It is because the gospel that suggests that God owes man money is a gospel that leads to depression sooner or later. Yeah, because I'm serving God, I will not fail. Because I'm serving God, my visa, they must give me my visa. Except God is not living. Don't stress yourself. Yeah, because they can deny your visa if your documents are not complete and God lived forever. So either you waste your speech to say, except God does not live. Except I'm not a Christian. Except I've not raised the dead. Okay? You can raise the dead and die in poverty. Okay, let's see 2 Corinthians chapter 8. 2 Corinthians chapter 8. Hallelujah. Generosity, God's divine plan. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1. Let's read together as a family. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. So it means that what Paul is about to teach about is the grace of God on a church or on some churches. Is that true? Yeah? So I'm about to explain what Paul is saying. Moreover, brethren, I'm about to explain to you concerning the grace of God on the churches of Macedonia. Look at verse 2. How that in a great trial of affliction. Now, who was he speaking about? He was speaking about the churches of Macedonia to the church in Corinth. So he's dealing with churches. What is he saying to the church in Corinth? He's saying how that in a great trial of affliction, the abundance of their joy. Hold on, dear saints. When he says their joy, who is the dear there? Macedonian churches, right? So the abundance of their joy and their what? Yeah, that word there, deep, before poverty, is not a figure of speech. Yeah, the Greek word is something that has to do with an extent or the depth of poverty. So in our Nigerian word, what will we say? We say their abject poverty. So it means that you can be a church, or you can be as a church and be in poverty. Are we together? Being a Christian doesn't exempt you from poverty. Let me say it again. Everything around us disproves that reality, especially in the part of the world we come from. So poverty did not start today. There were churches. He didn't say the church in Macedonia. He said the churches of Macedonia. What happened to them? They were in great trial of affliction and their deep poverty, but yet they did something. They are bounded unto the riches of their liberality. They are bounded unto the riches of their liberality. Look at verse 3. For to their power I bear record, yea, and beyond their power they were willing of themselves. So now they were in deep poverty. Paul did not say if you want to leave poverty, sow a seed. You don't leave poverty by sowing seed. Are we here? Like I always say, if seed sowing is a principle in scriptures, nobody should be poor. All you need to make wealth in this life is 500 naira. Yeah? You have 500 naira left in your account, you drop 450. Yeah? God multiplies it by 100. That's 45,000. Am I right? When 45,000 enters your account, what do? You remove 450 initial capital and drop what? 44,550. What God do again? Make it 100-fold. What 100-fold? What's it? 45,000 or 445,000 naira. What do you do again? Remove your initial capital and the initial capital and put. We shouldn't be poor. Are we together? So you can be a church and be in Christ and be poor. But there is something about the Macedonian church that Paul was using to teach the Corinthian church. What was he teaching? Even if you are poor, you have an ability to give. Are we here? He says, in their great trial and affliction, great trial of affliction, and their deep poverty, they are bounded unto the riches of liberality in them. You know, look at verse 9 of that same chapter 8. This is a scripture that a lot of us hold on to. For ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Hold on. When Paul mentioned the grace of God on the churches of Macedonia in verse 1, what was he talking about? How they were able to give even in their poverty. Right? They were able to still give even in their poverty. When he now tells you the grace of God in verse 9, what would that mean? Will it be, look at, so when he says, for do you know that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, where was he rich? On earth? Is there any Bible verse in your Bible that shows you that Jesus had 1 million pounds? Is there any verse in your Bible that shows you that Jesus was the richest in his town? Any verse? Any verse? Yeah, is there any verse in your Bible that shows you that when Jesus wanted to die, he started giving out properties? If there are verses like that, that's where it will make sense that, oh, he was rich and he became poor for your sake. So when he says he was rich, yet because of you, for your sakes, he became poor, that you through his poverty might be rich. What is his riches? Jesus Christ was the fullness of God. Jesus Christ becoming flesh to become sin is his poverty. So he had a life, eternal life. He became flesh to live as a man in the midst of men, that men will kill him, such that when he dies and he rises again, through that his poverty of becoming a man and dying for sins, you become rich. What is the riches you have? The riches of eternal life. The riches of his glory. The riches of his inheritance in the saints. The riches of liberality. The riches of grace. Are we together? Are we together? So, did Jesus become poor for your sake? Yes. He became poor in that he was God. He became a man so that he can become what? A man who has eternal life. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Are we here this morning? Look at chapter 9. Paul now says something to the Corinthian church. He said, verse 1, for as touching the ministering to the saints. So what is Paul saying? Concerning the ministering to the saints. That word there, ministering to the saints, is really speaking about giving to the saints. Because what he's speaking about from verse 1 is the giving of the churches of Macedonia. Of chapter 8. So, concerning the giving to the saints, it is superfluous. That word there means it is important for me to write to you about it. That means as a local church, it is important that I teach about giving. Yeah, so you must not fall for the trap that you always hear me say that, oh, see, so it doesn't work, and you think I'm teaching against giving. No, as a church, we must be loud on giving. But the loudness on our giving is towards the direction of it is an end in itself, not a means to an end. So Paul says, I'm writing to you. Because it is important for me to write to you. Look how he says in verse 2. For I know the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them of Macedonia. Hold on, dear saints. If you read verse 1 of chapter 8, what is Paul doing to the Corinthian church? Can we say he is boasting concerning the giving ability of the Macedonians to the Corinthians? Beautiful, you like that. What is Paul now saying here? For I know of the forwardness of your mind, for which I boast of you to them in Macedonia. So it means that, hold on, look at this, saint. It means that before Paul boasted to the Corinth concerning Macedonia, he had boasted to the Macedonian concerning Corinth. Did you get that? So it means that as saints, we must begin to spur ourselves to good works. So Paul used the giving ability, forwardness of your mind is the eagerness of your mind. So Paul used the eagerness of the giving or the eagerness of the mind in reference to the giving of the Corinthian church to provoke the Macedonians to giving. Are we here? So Paul used the example of God's palace to produce, or God, Paul used the example of God's palace to teach about giving to God's place. Let's say there's another church upstairs. After Paul used our example to teach them, Paul now used their example to teach us. Because in them listening to Paul, teaching them concerning us, they began to give better. Do you get what I just explained? Do you get what I just explained? Yeah, so he says that, for I know the fullness of your mind, for which I boast of to them at Macedonia. That Asia was ready a year ago. So it was a year ago. You see that? It was a year ago that Paul used the Corinthian giving to teach the Macedonians how to give. This is a year after. The Macedonian churches, they outweighed the Corinthian church. Yes, and your zeal had provoked very many. So what is it? Their zeal of giving provoked the Macedonian churches. Yeah? So look at verse 3. Yet have I sent the brethren, lest our boasting of you should be in vain in this behalf, that as I said, ye may be ready. Verse 4. Look at verse 5. Therefore, I thought it necessary to exhort the brethren, right? that they would go before unto you and make up beforehand your bounty. Yeah, that word there, bounty, we talked it on Wednesday, something that is praiseworthy. Yeah, something that is commendable. Wherefore, ye had noticed before that the same might be ready as a matter of bounty and not as of covetousness. Are we together? So, what is Paul saying? Paul is saying that the Macedonian churches, even though they were in deep poverty, they abounded unto the riches of liberality in them. Paul is saying that that activity is something commendable. So, as a church, not everybody will be rich. Hallelujah. Yeah? How do people become rich? By dealing with the activities of men in the world. Are we together? So, because of that, it means that in a church, we will have those that have enough, and those who don't have enough, and those who don't even have at all. But what should the church teach about? Those who have enough, those who don't even have enough, should give to those who don't have at all. In doing that, you are abounding to the riches of liberating you. Why? Because the spirit you received upon the resurrection of Christ that made you a believer has a giving ability. That's why you see John 3:16. Let's go that together. 1, 2, 3, go. So in verse 5, Paul is saying there's something called bounty and covetous. Paul did not say Macedonia, you are in deep poverty. You don't know the principle of the scriptures. Yeah? Biblical principle to prosperity. They come, we'll teach you how the biblical principle to prosperity. There is nothing like that. Even the person that is talking to you, if he sees Elon Musk, he will lie down. He will put his Bible aside and lie down. The scriptures are to make us wise concerning salvation. Are we together? So the wisdom of scripture is salvation. Paul is saying there's something called bounty and something called covetous. But see what he now says in verse 6. We taught this on Wednesday. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. And we explain that on Wednesday to be that there is something called sparing giving and bountiful giving. Yeah, sparingly giving is the giving that has to do with covetousness. Bountiful giving is the giving that has to do with something that is commendable, something that is praiseworthy. Please, I would admonish you to, because there are a lot of things I still want to deal with this month. Yeah, lay your hands on Wednesday's teaching if you are not online. So he's not saying, look at it. You know that statement that says givers never lack. You know it's not really true. Let me ask a question. Be sincere. Okay, no, raise your hand. If you are lacking here, lift your hand like this. Do your head like this. If you lack something here, do your head like this. Okay, I'm not looking at you, so I don't know which of you. Does that mean you have not given before? Hello? Those of you that did your head like this, does that mean you've not given before? So are you not an example of givers do lack? Do you understand what I'm trying to say? Look at verse 7. Every man according as it purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loves a cheerful giver. So God loves a cheerful giver. So it means that if you are giving anything to the church and you are complaining and grudging in your heart, you are rather put your money in your pocket. He says, let everyone give according as you. So your giving should be according as you purpose in your heart, not according to the number or the currency or the word that the man in front calls out, as you purpose in your heart. Are we together? What does God love? A cheerful giver. Look at verse 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good works. What is he saying? Are there saints who don't always have sufficiency? Let me say it. Are there saints who don't always have money? It should not be hard to see now. Yeah? I'm living an example. So he's not what is he saying? He's saying that there's a sufficiency that you've received as the riches of grace, the riches of liberality. Yeah, but you are to abound. So you are abounding unto every good works because of the sufficiency you have. What is sufficiency you have? The riches of liberality in you. He's not saying until when you are sufficiently fed yourself, that's when you give. No, he first of all told you an example of a church in deep poverty. Look at verse 10. Now he that ministereth seed to the sower. Did we teach this on Wednesday? He that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministers bread for your food and multiply your own seed. He's not saying that if God wants you to sow a seed, he's the one that will give you the seed to give. No, there's no money outside this earth. Are we here? There is no money outside this earth. Every money that is in the entire universe is on earth, except if man takes it outside the planet. So it's not saying that God will give you seeds that he wants you to sow. Yeah, you know, you hear people say things like this, you know, when your money in your hand cannot reach your need, you sow as a seed. He's not giving you a quick notice. The money in your hand, you go and drop it and say, please, I'll pay you in 2 months. Are we together? So we saw on Wednesday that, remember Genesis 3 verse 15, the seed of the woman shall bruise the head. Remember that teaching? Yeah, the seed of the woman, Genesis 3, shall bruise the head. So the seed of Genesis 3:15 is equal to the seed of Abraham. Galatians explains that to us. Go out to the stars and go and count the stars. So shall your seed be. When Galatians now explains it, he says, seed as of one, not as of many, which is Christ. So the seed of Genesis 3:15 is equal to the seed of Abraham, which is Christ, is equal to the seed of David, as explained in Romans. Who is the seed? Christ. So he says, he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food. Who is bread? There was bread in Exodus. Is that true? The people of Israel ate bread in the wilderness. Is that true? Is that true? Yes, in their eating of bread, what was Moses teaching about? That Jesus will be the bread, or God will supply bread to mankind. Yeah, so when the Israelites met Jesus and said, but Moses told us our fathers ate bread in the wilderness, that the bread is from heaven. What did Jesus say? No, your fathers did not eat the bread from heaven, but I am he who is the bread of heaven. So Jesus is the bread of heaven. He is the bread of God. He is the bread of life. Hallelujah. So everybody here who is a believer has eaten the bread of life. That means you've eaten the bread of heaven. Yeah, that's what you see in that Lord's Prayer. You give us this day our daily bread. That word there, daily, means sufficient bread, eternal bread. So you give unto us your eternal bread. Who is the bread of God? Christ Jesus. So can you say now that really it is God who ministers seed to the sower? What does that mean? God has put his seed in you. Who is the seed he put in you? The same person that put the seed in you, which is Christ, is the same person that puts what? Bread in you. Who is the bread in you? So the same one, so he that ministereth seed to the sower, both ministereth bread for your food. That is, and multiply your seed sown. What does multiply your seed sown? That is, increase the fruit of your righteousness. What will fruit of righteousness be here? Good work. What is the good works in this context? Liberality. What is liberality? Give more. So because you have the seed of God in you, which is the bread of God in you, what do? You give more. You increase. So it means that every year, as the years unfold, you make up your mind and increase the quantity or the quality. Remember, as you propose in your heart, remember, that's why I say you make up your mind. So you propose in your heart, you make up your mind and realize that, God expects that I give and give liberally, seeing the example he has given to us, his son. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So now, why are we teaching all these things? Now look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Look at Ephesians chapter 1, verse 18. Let's read Ephesians 1, verse 18 together. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So what is Paul saying? If you read verse 17, look at verse 15. Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and love unto all saints, verse 16, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayer. So, Paul is about to explain the prayer he's praying for the churches or the church in Ephesus. Verse 17. What is the prayer? The prayer is that God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom. Now, in the real sense, proper contextuality to this verse will be what? May give unto you the wisdom of the spirit. Yeah, if he's saying spirit of wisdom, there's a tendency for you to think that there's another spirit God wants to give unto you. You know, that's why some of us, when we're growing up, our mothers will pray on us. Yeah. Receive the spirit of wisdom. Yeah, in the real sense, what Paul is teaching here is what? That he may give unto you the wisdom of the spirit. Hold on. During the vigil on Friday, did we explain something about God is going to lead us into all truth? Yeah? What is the leading into all truth? The wisdom of the Spirit. What is the wisdom of the Spirit? The wisdom that pertains to that Spirit we have received. So, he now explains it to be, that is revelation in the knowledge of Him. Remember, I said something on Friday. The work or the operation of the Spirit in the lives of the believer, leading into all truth, is equal to the revelation of His glorification. Remember that? Yeah, the revelation of His glorification. That is what the Spirit in us points. So when He says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free, He's not saying that if you say the truth, when they catch you, it will set you free. Right? Yeah? Imagine someone steals your car, and you saw the person that stole your car, you now catch him 3 months after. You now can say, my brother, come. Say the truth, I will set you free. Is that what you say? Yeah? So you know, most times when you say the truth, you enter trouble. So when he says the Spirit of truth shall lead you into all truth, he's not saying the Spirit of truth will help you write your exam, or the Spirit of truth will help you teach you how to drive car. Spirit of God doesn't teach people how to drive car. Okay, that one in your head, my pastor, is possible. Okay, Spirit of God doesn't teach people to fly plane. Imagine now, imagine you are going to Lagos here, 45 minutes. And the pilot that is in the cockpit, you know, after he speaks his phone, like we said on Friday. Yo, ladies and gentlemen, you can take your seat and reserves. Go, whatever you do. We're flying an altitude of 20,000. Seat your belt. You put your seat belt. He now tells you, yeah, I'm a believer. I believe in the finished work of Christ. And I'm one who is full of the Holy Ghost. Papa is my father. Yeah, Papa is my father. Yeah, I haven't gone to any piloting school. I just know that the Spirit of God says you shall lead me into all truth. So relax and take care of yourself as we go on this journey. What do? You stand up and you jump out. But I thought you trust the Spirit of God leading you into all truth. So it means that the day you said the Spirit of God taught you how to drive, it means that it's just because driving is something you can maneuver. You know, there's a way you can drive and be going on 10. You can drive and be going on 10, you'll not have accidents. You know? Try it in the plane, in the air. Yeah? So the Spirit of truth will lead you into all truth. Is that you may receive the wisdom of the Spirit. That is the revelation of the knowledge of Him. Yeah? Glory to God. Remember? Yeah? In a little while, you will not see me. In a little while, you will see me because I go. Yeah? Remember that? John 4, John 16. In a little while, you will not see me. In a little while, you will see me because I go. What's Jesus teaching about? That is going to, what? Come into your heart. So the ascension of Jesus is equal to the descension of God into man. Yeah, so God is not in the skies. God is not in the sky. Yeah, what you call sky blue. No. That's not heaven. Right? Yeah, that's just a figurative expression of, but God is not in the sky. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So what's the Spirit of God is saying that ye may give unto you the wisdom of the Spirit. So look at what he now says here to explain it in verse 18. I pray that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. So it means that the riches of God's glory is where? Let's say that together. Let's say it together. 1, 2, 3, go. The riches of God's glory is in the saints. Let's say it together. So, the challenge with Christians is what they understand to be the riches of God's glory. Or the riches of His grace. Now, if you take note, Paul is not saying that I pray that God will give you riches. What is Paul praying about? That your eyes of understanding might be enlightened to see the riches you already have. Are we here? Are we here? Yeah. So, there's a tendency for man to see God's riches in one way and one way only. What does that mean? Majority of us see God's riches to be material things. Yeah. The only thing that makes God's riches material things is only in the fact that He is the creator of the universe. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Yeah. What makes the riches of God material is in the fact that He created the universe. But the riches that God gives to the saint upon believing the gospel is unique to the saints. Look at verse 3 of this same chapter. Look at verse 3. Verse 3. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read together. So Paul tells you that God has already blessed you. Lift your hand and say, God has blessed me. Lift your hand and say, God has blessed me. So Paul tells you, God has blessed you. What did he now pray for in verse 17? That your eyes of understanding may be enlightened to see the blessing he has given you. Are we together? Yeah? So, he says, blessed be our God, that is the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with all spiritual blessings. Where? in heaven, in Christ. In the heavenlies, in Christ. So every believer has been blessed by God. What is the blessing that God gives every believer? The blessedness found in heaven, in Christ. So everything, yeah? So when we are talking gospel, when you say the believer is blessed, if that thing you call the blessing of God on your life is something a man who is not a Christian can have, is not part of the blessing Paul spoke about in Ephesians 1. Are we together? If you get a job tomorrow and they are paying you 5 million naira, that is not part of your inheritance in Christ. Are we together? Why? Because it is something another man who says God is stupid has more than you. So the blessedness of God in the saints is unique to that man that is a saint. What is Paul now saying? That your eyes of understanding being enlightened. That word there, enlightened, is a word that actually means to make something clearer. Yeah? To bring something to be more evident. To bring it to light. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 24 quickly. Luke 24 verse 24. And certain of them went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but him they saw not. Verse 25. Then Jesus said unto them, O fools. Why did he call them fools? The word there, fools, means you are not thinking deep. So he says, O fools, slow of heart, to believe all the prophets have spoken. Did the prophet speak? Did the prophet speak? What were they to do with what the prophet spoke? They were to believe. What did they not do? They did not believe. Yeah. So he called them all fools because they did not believe. So all fools, that is, and slow of heart rather, to believe all the prophet has spoken. What did Jesus do? What did the prophet say in verse 26? Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? Hold on. So it means that what the prophets were saying from time memorial was speaking about the glory of God. Is that true? Is that true? The prophet, including Moses, including the prophet Ezekiel, Isaiah, they were teaching about the glory of God. So can we say they were teaching about the riches of his glory? Yeah? Where did Paul tell you that the riches of God's glory is? In the what? In the where? So if you are looking for the riches of God's glory, where do you find it? In the same. There's that song we sang this morning. Yeah, what a beautiful name. There's a line that says, your hidden glory in creation. Now revealed where? Now revealed to us. The hidden glory from creation has been revealed now in Christ. So we see Christ as the full expression of God's glory. Are we together? What did Moses say? Moses parted the Red Sea. Moses led millions of people through the Red Sea. What did he say afterwards? Lord, show me your glory. What is the glory Moses was looking for? The glory now revealed in Christ. So the prophets were saying, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? What did Jesus do in verse 27? And beginning at Moses and the prophets, he went to Genesis chapter 1, to Malachi, the last chapter, and explained unto them his glory. Are we here? Let me say it again. So Jesus went to Genesis, the Old Testament books, and explained his glory to them. Why? Because he's the fulfillment of the prophecies about the glory of God. Go back to Ephesians 1 quickly. Ephesians 1. Verse 18. So, that your eyes of understanding. Now, did Paul say, I pray that God will give you his riches? Hello? Look at it. By your eyes of understanding, being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, that is, what is the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. Did Paul say that you are a Christian, but may God give you his riches? So the riches of God is already in you as a Christian. What is different between you and one who doesn't function in the gifts of the Spirit is because you are paying attention to the riches in you. So Paul said, that is a worthy prayer. I pray that your eyes of understanding, yeah, may be able to see and comprehend what is the hope of his calling. What is the riches of the glory of these inheritance and the saints? Look at verse 19. So, Paul's riches of glory in the inheritance in the saints shows that God's glory is where? Where is God's glory? So, listen and say, I'm a man full of God's glory. Yeah, so we are to pray so that the saints can see himself or see what God said he has put in you. Are we together? Yeah. So you are to pray so that your eyes of understanding can see that which God has already put. Not what God will put. What God has already put. Look at verse 19. You see this verse. It says, and what that you may also know what. So it says, the hope of his calling, the riches of his glory in his inheritance, the riches of his, of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. In the New Testament, what he's talking about, that is, what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Hallelujah. To who? Exceeding greatness of his power, to us what? Who believe. According to the working of his mighty power. You see, no other verse in the entire Bible has so much concentration of the word power than Ephesians 1:19. No other verse. So Paul is talking about the power of God in Ephesians 1 verse 19. What is he saying? You see, if you have the NASB translation, it says, and you may know what is the surpassing greatness of his power for us who believe in accordance with the exercise of his great might. What is Paul saying? God has wrought that towards you. But your eyes of understanding must be open to see what God has wrought towards you. Are we together? That word there, exceeding, is a word that means hupabalo. Yeah, the word there, exceeding, is a word that means hupabalo. Yeah, two Greek words, hupa, H-U-P-E-R, and balo, B-A-L-L-A-A, double L-O. What does it mean? The word there, hupa, means something that is over. And the word there, balo, means something you throw. Say that again. Hupa, H-U-P-E-R, is the word that means over. Yeah? Something that means over, above all, beyond all. Then the word balo means what? Something that you throw. So hupa balo means what? An overthrowing. Are we together? Are we together? So imagine if I want to throw. Imagine if I want to throw my phone. Everyone look at me. Everyone look at me. Imagine if I want to throw my phone to Sister Esther at the back. Yeah? Sister, catch my phone. Ah, you lifted your hands. Sorry. But you know, if I pick my phone and I do like this, will she catch it? Why do I have to do like this? Yeah? Anybody that says I did like this, how will you report the story? I overthrew my phone. Can I send this phone to her and just show like this? Will it get to her? Why should I do like this? That's what Paul is teaching about. That what God took to create you, even though he could do like this, he did like this. Listen attentively. God could have created you by just doing like this. What did he do? He did like this. Paul is saying that you might know the exceeding, hupabalo, something that is way beyond. That you might know the over exceeding, the exceeding greatness of his power. That word there, greatness, is something that's true, is something that is huge and vast. Are we together? Are we together? Yeah? So, that you may know, the exceeding is super below, over and beyond. Something that is great, the greatness there is what? Something that is huge. Something that is vast. Then the word there, power, is the word that is what? Dunamis. Hallelujah. Dunamis. Yeah? Dunamis. So, the first word exceeding is what? Overthrow. Are we here? Are we here? Second word there, greatness is what? Huge and vast. Third word here, power is what? Dunamis. Yeah? Who believe? According to the working of his mighty power. That word there, working, is a word that means, that speaks about something that has inherent power in itself. Do we all know what tsunami is? You know what tsunami is? How many of us know what tsunami is? What tsunami? Water, torrent, right? Destroying people. Right? Yeah? So, is there any external force that pushes the water that destroys during tsunami? Listen, everyone. Is there any external force that is pushing the water that destroys during tsunami? So, it means that in tsunami itself, it has a self-made power. Are we together? So it means that inherent in the tsunami is an ability to make itself functional. What is Paul saying? That God's powerful power has been wrought towards you, that new man in Christ. But the thing is that most of us, our eyes of understanding has not been enlightened to see. You know. See, so even if I say eyes of understanding, you know I'm talking about this, right? Yeah. If I say eyes of understanding, what I'm talking about, your mind. Is that true? Your mind? Yeah. The mind, your understanding, your mindset. Hallelujah. Paul says that what is the exceeding greatness of his power? Yeah. The word there, mighty. The word there, mighty, is a word that means something that is visibly manifested. Yeah. Putting God's clear power into use. Hallelujah. So, what is Paul saying? And altogether, the highest form of God's power, yeah, is an overshooting and irresistible ability that he has put towards you. But what are you to do? That your eyes of understanding may be enlightened to see. Your eyes of understanding may be enlightened to see God's powerful power. Look at Jeremiah 32 verse 17. Jeremiah 32 verse 17. Jeremiah 32 verse 17. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. Did Jeremiah as a prophet acknowledge that God's power has made the entire world? Yes? What is Paul telling you? The power that God used to make the entire world is not up to the power he used to make you. Hello? Hello? Who created the heavens and earth? God. Yeah? The power that God used to create the heaven and earth, is it powerful? Yes. What is Paul telling you? That the exceeding greatness of his power is towards you. So if you are looking for God's powerful power, who do you look for? You look at the new creation. So let me say this. It means that the creation of the entire universe was like a dress rehearsal for the creation of the saints. Are we together? Let me say it again. The power that God used to create the universe is not up to the power that God... I mean, Jeremiah told you, there is nothing too hard for thee. So if I tell you that the power that God used to create you is more than the power used to create the universe, Jeremiah already told you, there is nothing too hard for him. Hallelujah. So when you sing that church, oh Lord my God, when I'm in awesome wonder, consider the works thy hand has made. I see the stars, I see the rolling thunder. Yes, that's okay. But as a saint, what do you see to see God's power? Oh Lord my God, when I'm in awesome wonder, consider all the works thy hand has made. What is the work his hand has made? Look at Ephesians 2 verse 10. 1, 2, 3, go. So we are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good work. So did God create a new creation? Yes, we are his workmanship. Is the creation of the earth God's workmanship? Yes. But the creation of the earth is not as powerful or did not take God much more power than what he did concerning your resurrection. Concerning the spirit he has given unto you. When I'm in awesome wonders, considering all the works thy hand has made, I see your church. I see the new creation. Are we together? Yeah. I see your church. I see the new creation. That power through all that. So when you look at God's power, Paul said that your eyes of understanding may be able to be enlightened to see God's power that he wrought towards you who believes. When the Spirit of God, when you receive the Spirit of God, inherent in that spirit is an inability to be depressed. Will life treat you and show you, you know what they call this thing? Give me a word. No, I don't want to use that word. Where? Let's stick with that one. Yeah, where is the figure of speech, yeah, which is actually known as the Hebrew Greekish word for what? The first one mommy said. You didn't hear? No, it's not me that says, she's a shaggy. Yeah, so when life shows you where, because we're on earth, life will show us shaggy. But there is God's power resident in you. Paul is saying that your eyes of understanding may be enlightened, that you may behold the extent, the exceeding, overabounding, powerful power of God's mighty power. Yeah? So, God's mighty power has been wrought towards you.
Hallelujah.
Yeah? He says that your eyes of understanding may be enlightened to see the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. You have an inheritance from God. You are God's rich man. Hallelujah. I am God's rich man. I am God's rich man.
God's rich man.
So you want to look at God's riches. What do you look at? Look at the saints. Hallelujah. You look at the saints. You look at the saints. That's an unending, powerful power of riches. It took God an over. So God could have sat down and made salvation available without the work of Christ. He had a choice. But he showed you. Jesus went to the land of the dead for 3 days. And he resurrected. That is God's powerful power at work. Romans tells us, the spirit that rose Christ from the dead now dwells in you. In your mortal bodies. He shall quicken your mortal body. So right now in your body is the ability to live forever. But you will not live forever with this, because this is flesh. Paul says what? You are his workmanship. If you answer, I'm God's workmanship. God's rich man. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So that your eyes of understanding may be enlightened. That your eyes of understanding may be enlightened. What Moses looked at was looking towards you. Moses parted the Red Sea. Did all sorts of miracles. What did he say in the Exodus? Lord, show me your glory. Look at John. John chapter 1, verse 14. That's what I'm going to. Verse 14, sorry. And the word was made flesh and dwelt amongst us. And we what? Beheld his glory. The glory as of the only begotten Father. So when Moses was saying, show me your glory, show me your glory, and he was singing and he was crying, what was he looking for? He was looking for the Christ and that which work, and that work Christ will do, you and I. I'm God's workmanship. I'm God's rich man. I'm God's rich man. Glory to God. Look at Hebrews. Let me show you something in Hebrews. Look at something in Hebrews. Hebrews 11, 26. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 26. Look at verse 24. Hebrews 11, 24. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read together. Let me wait for people to write. They finish writing, Just as you, if you finish writing, just gloss on the screen. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Hold on. So Moses had an opportunity to be called a son of Pharaoh's daughter. That means Moses had an opportunity to be adopted into royalty. Is that true? But what did Moses do by faith? Look at verse 1. He refused to be called a member of that household. Look at verse 25. What did he do? Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. So he rather suffered than enjoyed. He had an option to either suffer or enjoy. What did he do? He rather suffered. Why? Esteeming, verse 26, esteeming the reproach of Christ as greater riches. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Dear saints, when Moses was on earth, had Christ come? So Moses looked forward to the years ahead. Yet Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ to be mightier than the riches in Egypt. Are we here? The moment you are a believer and you exalt money over the riches that God has put in you, you are a believer that is said to be covetous. That's the simplest definition of a man who is covetous. I'll say it again. The moment you are rejoicing, yeah, some of us are like that here. The moment you are happier when you think of the riches in your account balance more than the riches of God in you. Even Moses, who was living years before. You know, when Moses was living, Jesus was going to come hundreds of years after. Yet, think about it this way. See, everybody look at me. Imagine the president of Nigeria gives you an estate. Yeah? You know, Brother Sokome, I just like you. You know, I'm going to take that estate around Asokoro. It's like 500. You know, he's already saying amen. My brother smiles. He says amen. He says amen. Yeah? So he says, go and take it. Now, you now come to church. Pastor now stands in front and says, Brasu Komi, that house that God wants to give you, that president wants to give you, how far is it now? He says, I'm going there tomorrow, Monday morning. The pastor now says, but you know that Jesus is going to come in 500 years' time. What does Brother Solomon say? 500. Hear yourself.
500 years time. This from your mouth. See it. 500 years time. I should now leave estate of 500 units and go and collect 500 years time by faith. That's what Moses did. Moses had the riches of Egypt at his disposal. Yet he refused that. And he extinct. Look at it though. See, what did Moses extinct to be greater riches? The reproach. Glory to God. What did Moses extinct to be greater riches than the Egypt of money of Egypt he could physically see? The reproach of Christ. So the reproach of Christ is greater riches than any money on earth. Hallelujah. Yes, that is the full demonstration of God's power towards you. Towards you. You see? It is because you're not paying attention to what you should pay attention. That is why money that is lesser riches keeps you depressed. It is because you subconsciously exalt money in your pocket as greater riches compared to the reproach. Moses by faith, today, look at myself and yourself. We can vex and go to Israel and go and see the tomb where Jesus died. History can prove it. Yet, we are extending money. You think what God wants to give you is cash. When he has given his spirit, what you have received is what Moses looked forward to. You are not the house of God's power. You are the location of God. God wanted to dwell in man. And through reproach, he will dwell in man. That's God's riches. He esteemed the reproach of Christ to be greater. What does it mean? It means he considered it. He could have chosen to hold on to the things his physical eyes can see. That's what Paul will tell you. We live by faith, not by sight. Hallelujah. Yeah, what's speaking about? Yeah, faith in the resurrection. The same God that was in Christ, that rose him up from the grave, after 3 days dwells in you. That's God's riches. Listen and say, I'm God's rich man. Remember that song by Utterance? I esteem the reproach of Christ far above the riches of men. I am God's rich man. I am God's rich man. You remember that song? I esteem the reproach of Christ far above the riches of men. I am God's rich man. I am God. So you are God's rich man. What riches did God give you? The riches of his spirit. The riches of his glory. In his name. What did Paul say? To us words. To you word. To me word. Who believe the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'm God's rich man. Look at what riches is to Paul. Look at... So the fullness of God's glory is seen in a person, that man called Christ Jesus. Are we together? Yeah. So why are you a partaker of God's glory? Because you are one who believes the gospel. Are we here? If you believe the gospel, let me see your hands. So look at neighbor and say, you are God's rich man. Look at neighbor and say, you are God's rich man. Look at neighbor and say, do you know something? You are God's rich man. We are saying it again. Do you know something? Oh, yeah, answer. Okay, no. So, do you know something? You know, imagine you are dating your girlfriend and your girlfriend goes out. Let me say your wife goes out and comes back home. You know, and says, my honey, my obi, my shugi, my angel. You know, and says my choice. Yeah. So, and he says, guess what happened to me? What will I say? What is that? Yeah, so look at it. Or she comes and says, do you know something? What will you say? What is that? So look at neighbor and say, do you know something? You are still looking at me? Look at neighbor and say, do you know something? You are God's rich man. Look at neighbor and say, you are the postcode of power. Look at neighbor and say, you are the address of power. God's powerful power. Resides in you. God's mighty power resides in you. The greatness of his power resides in you. Look at Romans 2:4 quickly. Romans 2 verse 4. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness. Riches of what? His goodness. And forbearance and long suffering. So riches, goodness, forbearance, long suffering, are they part of God's riches? Yeah, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. So it is God's riches that leads men to repentance.
Are we together? What does unbelief teach? Unbelief teaches that when you show men that you have money, they will repent and come to Christ. Yeah? Somebody tells you, when you go for evangelism and you see someone that is stubborn, just flash your account balance to him. They've not caught you before. When you flash your account balance, somebody picks his son's account balance and shames you. That's shame. You see, you have one small 1 million. He says, it's because I'm in Christ. If you come to Christ, no crisis. The person that now shows his son that is less than 4 years. See, this is my son's account. My name is Ade. His name is Shemu. His account is about 100 million for a starter. So, he now tells you, so say what you want to say next. What you feel like, he shamed you. So, man teaches material riches as God's riches for the saints. No. God's riches for the saint is unique to that man that is in Christ. It's unique to that man that is in Christ. Are we together? So God's riches dwells in me. Oh, say that with a conviction. God's riches dwells with me. Glory to God. Look at Ephesians 2:7. Look at Ephesians 2:7 quickly. Look at verse 6. And he had raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenlies in Christ Jesus. Verse 7. Look at this one. Look at this one carefully. That in the ages to come, he might show the what? Of what? That he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us. How? Through Christ Jesus. So the riches of his grace is seen in his kindness towards us through the work of Christ. Yeah, so I'm going to explain the scripture now that most of us hold on to. Yeah, Philippians 4:19. Yeah, go to Philippians 4:19. Philippians 4:19. Before you go to Philippians 4:19, remember in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 1 to 3. What did the churches of Macedonia abound towards? The riches of their... So can we say the... Look at it. When we read Ephesians chapter 2, it says the riches of God is seen in the grace through his kindness. Or the riches of his grace is seen in his kindness. When you read Romans chapter 2, it says the riches of his goodness and kindness, yeah, and his long suffering leadeth men unto repentance. So the riches of God, can we say that is the riches of his grace? Can we say that is the riches of his glory? Can we say that's the riches of liberality? Yeah, so upon believing the gospel, you've received of God's riches. Embedded in God's riches is an ability of what? Or the riches of his grace, riches of his mercy. Let me say it again. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the churches were in deep poverty. But Paul was trying to teach about the grace of God on their lives. What was the grace of God he was teaching about? The grace in their ability to give despite their poverty. What did he call it? They abounded on the riches of liberality. Look at what Paul now says in Philippians 4, verse 19. Dear saints, Philippians 4 alone has two major scriptures a lot of us hold on to. The first one is what? I can do all things through Christ that strengthens me. So, how can you do all things? What was Paul teaching? Now, go back to Philippians 4, verse 13. Philippians 4, 13. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go! When you pick this verse and make it your favorite verse without understanding the context, you have just picked it in error. You've allowed your emotions to lead you. Yeah, there is nobody on earth that can do all things. Nobody on earth. If you are sure you can do all things, go to Nnamdi Azikiwe Airport and just be running on the wrong way. When I say, what is wrong with you? I want to take off. Spread your hand. Spread your hand. I want to take off. I can do all things. For God lives in me, you can do all things. So what is Paul teaching about? Reading context. Go back to verse 10. But I rejoiced in the Lord greatly that now at the last your care of me had flourished again, wherein ye were also careful, but ye lacked opportunity. Look at verse 11. Not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be what? Content. So Paul is saying that no matter the stage he finds himself, he has contentment. Look at verse 12. I know both how to be abased and I know how to abound. What is abound and abased? Abased is opposite of abound. Is that true? So what does it mean to abound? You have plenty. What does it mean to abase? You have little.
What is Paul saying? I know how to be when I have little, and I know how to be when I have much. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to do or to be full and to be hungry. So Paul is saying, I know how to take care of myself when I'm hungry. I know how to take care of myself when I'm full. I know both how to abound and to suffer need. That means Paul the apostle that teaches you Philippians chapter 4 verse 19, suffered needs. What is he saying? Verse 13, I can do all these things through Christ that strengthens me. So what brings strength to the believer? What was bringing strength is the ability of putting his attention on the work of Christ. That in itself is strength. So I can do all these things. Why? So that means when I'm hungry, you will not know. Because I put my attention on the contentment I have in me. When I'm full, you don't know. That's why I always tell you as believers, dear saints. Yeah? Don't come to church and let us know you got the contract the week before. I mean in your attitude.
Brother, so how are you? Brother, so how are you doing? Do I have a good week?
When there's no money in your account, brother, so please can you help me to the junction? Don't be one that when you walk into church, everybody knows you have arrived. Paul is saying, when I'm full, when I'm hungry, you will not know why. Because I put my attention not on when I have or when I don't have, but on the work that is consistent. A believer might not always have. But what is your consistent reality that God lives in you? You are God's rich man. So after he said this, he said in verse 14 again. Look at verse 14. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. What is he saying? When he did not have, they gave him. They communicated with his affliction. What does that figurative for the fact that they gave him material things? Are we together? They gave material things. Yeah. What did he say? You have done well. Look at verse 15. Now ye Philippians know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. Are we together? Look at verse 16. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity. Verse 17. Not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. Hallelujah. Then look at verse 18. But I have all and abound. I am full, having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent. So what is Paul thanking them for? The things they sent to him. Yeah? An odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well pleasing to God. People of God, that sacrifice, who was it to? To God in man. Remember the teaching? The title was in honor to God, but it was for man to use. Yeah? He now says after this, verse 19. But my God, hallelujah, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. Dear saints, the riches in glory we've been seeing throughout from where we'll be teaching today, are they material? No. The riches in glory is the riches of liberality you have. Hallelujah. So you, everyone look at me. Everybody from here is the Philippian church. Yeah? Everybody from here, okay, let me say this way. Everybody from here is God's palace. Everybody from here is God's place. Yeah? God's palace communicates to me when I'm hungry. So they partook of my affliction. That means they ministered material things to me. God's place, right, is another church. Now, because they gave to me, I now said that, oh, my God shall meet your needs. Now, in the real sense, did I have a need? I had a need. I was in affliction. So I had a need. They met my need. How did they meet my need? By the riches of God in them. How did they do that? By abounding to the riches of liberality in them. So they are abounding to the riches of liberality in them is what made them meet my needs. So if Paul now says, I pray that God will meet your needs according to his riches in glory, what is he saying? I pray that churches of God's place will meet your needs according to the riches of liberality in them. How will they do that? By these ones abounding to the riches of liberality in them, which is what you call the riches of glory. How did he tell you? By Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 So God meets the needs of believers by other believers when other believers are bound to the riches of liberality in them. So I'm telling you, God's palace. Oh, you met my needs in time of affliction. Yes, even though I'm strengthened or I know how to live in poverty and in riches. But you communicated to me when I was in, now, when I went to the Philippian church, it was in prison. So you couldn't walk. Yeah, the template Paul gives us as ministers is that you should go and labor and work. Yeah, it's when you don't have a source of income that you can be saying things that nobody sent you. Why? Because you need to feed your family and pay your children's school fees during September. Yeah, but yet, even though Paul walked, there was a time Paul did not walk, yet the churches of God's palace communicated to him by meeting his needs. They did that. So, now, did God meet Paul's need? Yes. How? By the church in God's palace abounding to the riches of glory in them. Are we together? Are we together? So, how will God meet the Philippian needs? Yeah, God's place, we are bound towards the riches of liberty in them to make them. So, God's place might be the churches of Macedonia who are in deep poverty. But yet, because they are bound towards the riches of liberty in them, they still give to God's powers. Does that explain Philippians 4:19? Does that explain Philippians 4:19? Are we okay with that? Yeah? So, when he says, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches. Yeah? According to his riches. The riches there will be the riches of his inheritance in the saints. What is the riches there? The riches of his grace. The riches of his mercy. The riches of his long-suffering. His kindness towards us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So, God's riches to the saints is by Christ Jesus. So, can we say Christ is God's currency of supply? Yeah? Christ Jesus is God's currency of supply, in that your needs are met when other people are bound to the riches in them, yeah, and give to you. Stephanie. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, what did the churches of Macedonia do? They are bounded unto the riches of their liberality. That means they had freedom to do whatever they wanted to do with their money. They had the liberty to hold their money to themselves because they were in deep poverty. But what did they do? Yeah, they met the needs of others. Hallelujah. They met the needs of others. Yeah, so go back to 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 10. So, now, let's read this together. 1, 2, 3, go. Can we say that the bread and the seed that God ministers to you is his riches? Are we together? So the bread and the seed that God ministers to you is his riches. The riches of his glory. The riches of his grace. The riches of liberality. Are we together? So he has ministered to you seed. He has ministered to you bread. Yeah? So in that ministration, what do you do? God wants to meet the needs of others through you abounding to that riches in you. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yeah, so like we read in Philippians 4 verse 18, you know, Paul received gifts through Epaphroditus. Is that true? Is that true? Paul received gifts through Epaphroditus. And what is he saying? So, who received the money Epaphroditus gathered? Paul, right? Who were they giving it in honor to? Yeah, so they honored God by giving to man. Are we together? Yeah, glory to God. Glory to God. Yeah, so as saints, we must never give to with our needs in mind. We must never give as a means to an end. We must never give as a means to an end. We must never. So when you are giving, what whose need supply should you have in your mind? The needs of others. So in your mind, what you should not have is your needs. Oh, glory to God. Oh, glory, Marabou, Sevekan, and Abosha. You know, this week by Friday, I want to buy my house. Yeah, because I want to buy my house, I want to give. No, you are giving with your needs in mind. But how do we give as saints? Oh, this brother doesn't have 3 shirts. Or this brother has only 2 shirts. This brother has only 4 shirts. Yeah, this brother looks like someone that is not eating very well. Yeah. See, no matter what happens, we will have church. The church will be full of people who are eating well and not eating well. What is left for you to do when you are the one that is eating well? You are bound towards the riches of liberty in you and give to man who is not eating well. Let's say a few things in the next, you know, few minutes. Look at, I think I'll just give some examples. Look at Mark 12. Mark 12, 41. Mark 12, 41. And Jesus sat over against the treasury and beheld how people cast money into the treasury, and many that were rich casting much. Verse 42. Look at verse 43. Yeah, and he called unto him, his disciples, and said unto them, verily I say unto you, that poor widow hath cast more in than all which have cast into the treasury. So it means that the ratio they had given, even though they had little, was not compared to the ratio the widow had given that had little. Did you get what I just said? Yeah? This is the widow's mite. This is the widow, sorry. This is the widow. Yeah, this is the widow. This is everybody that's giving. There's a basket there. All of you have 1 million in your accounts. All of you are giving 10 naira in the baskets. This woman has only 20 naira. She gives 10 naira. Do you understand that? That's what Jesus is teaching about. Yeah, look at verse 44. For all they did cast in of their abundance, but she of her wants did cast in all that she had, even all her living. Can we call that sacrificial giving? Is that an example of the riches of liberality that the Macedonian church abounded unto? Hallelujah. Look at Acts chapter 2 quickly. Acts chapter 2 verse 44. Acts 2:44. It says, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Verse 45. And they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to men as every man had need. Verse 46. And they continued daily in one accord, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat the meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Acts 4:32. So we see from Acts 2 that they gave their all to meet the needs of others. So can you see the difference? A lot of us give our all, but we give it to meet our needs. Do you get that? We give our all to meet our needs. What were these people doing? They were giving their all to meet the needs of others. Are we here? Look at Acts 4 verse 32. And the multitude of them that believed were of one heart and of one soul. Neither said any of them that out of the things which he possessed was his own. So you have your house, you have your car. What is this verse saying? None of them said that it is my own. What did they do? But they had all things in common. Verse 43. And with great power gave the apostles witness of the resurrection of Jesus, Lord Jesus Christ, and great grace was upon them all. For neither, can you see this? Neither was there any among them that lacked. So the way God meets the church or makes a church not to lack is when those that have give to those who don't have. The Bible tells you, Luke tells you that neither was there any amongst them that lacked. For as many as were what? Possessors of lands or houses. What did they do with them? What did they do with them? They what? And they brought the money of the things that were sold. Verse 35. Yes. And they laid it down at the apostles' feet. It wasn't saying that they were using to come and connect anointing. Yeah. After anointing for wealth. Yeah. Bring your 100 years down and touch my shoe. My shoe, there's an anointing there. Yeah. For if you touch it on my shoe, anywhere you step, you shall possess. Oh, guys, a lie. If it's sure, you go to Assoville and just be walking inside. Anyway, my feet. Go on now. Are we together? So when it says brought at the feet of the apostles, it's a figurative expression that they brought it under the submission of the church. What did the apostles do? And distribution was made unto every man according as he had needs. Verse 46. 36. And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the son of consolation, a Levite, and of the country of Cyprus. 37. Having land. What did he do? So when you see a believer, yes, takes out his land and sells it and gives money to the brethren, he is not stupid. We have templates in scriptures. But it becomes very deceptive if he is doing that because he wants to get an estate. Do you understand? What do we do in our day and time? You sell your 3-bedroom mansion, you sow it as a seed so that the pastor can lay hands on you so that you can say you get an estate in 1 week. Yeah, so Joseph had lands, he sold it, and he brought the money and did what to it? Laid at the apostles' feet. Hallelujah. Look at Acts 4:32, Acts 11:29. Acts 11:29. Then the disciples, every man, according to his ability, determined to send. Look at verse 28. And there stood up one of them, named who? And he signified by the Spirit. Can we say that that's one of the gifts of the Spirit? Yeah? He signified by the Spirit that what? There should be a great debt. That word debt is like the word famine or famine. Is that true? Yeah? Throughout all the world. Which came to pass. You know, there's nothing like because Christians are on earth, the world will not go through suffer, will not suffer. Or the world, no. And yes, some people say some very things that because the church is on earth, The devil cannot do some things. 2020 shocked all of us. Are we here? Yeah. You see, I was saying something yesterday to someone. When you are explaining God's love, don't overflow the narrative. Are we together? God's love is beautiful. It's fine, but don't overflow it. Yeah, I'll pay attention to that in days to come. Now, Agabus signified by the Spirit that there will be famine on all through the earth. Verse 29. What did they do when they heard the word of knowledge? Did they start praying, God, oh, God, oh, God, oh, eh? How are we going to cope? What did they do? Then the disciples, let's read together. Every man, according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which were in Judea. Every man decided. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. The Macedonian churches, they decided in their hearts to meet the riches or the needs, rather, of those who did not have. Look at 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Paul gives you an example again to the Corinth. 1 Corinthians 16, verse 1. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Let's read together. 1, 2, 3, go. Verse 2. What is Paul talking about? Collection for the saints. Verse 2. Hold on. Is this in bracket? Is this in bracket? So it means God is not in this verse. Paul is not saying as God prospers you. In the real sense, as you prosper. Are we together? Are we together? This word is not, it doesn't have, there's no translation for this word God in this verse. So God is not in the mix. Think about it. If God is in the mix, why is it that God is prospering some small, but some big? God is not in the mix, people of God. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store as he prospereth, yeah, that there be no gathering when I come. Yeah, so as you prosper, you make up your mind and determine this is the percentage I take aside for the growth or the furtherance of the gospel. Yeah, that you are hearing us talk about, if you see your seed, you tithe your time and all these things, doesn't mean that you should reduce your giving. Yeah, you know, a lot of times when we teach things like this, giving drops drastically. You know why? Because you were always giving into your fears. Now they've told you there's no devourer. You think all your money is for you. No matter how little you are being paid, yes, you have the riches of liberty in you. You can give something from it. Why? Because God's riches has abounded towards you. You are God's rich man. Look at Romans 12 verse 8. Oh, he that exhorted on exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness, he that giveth, let him do it with what? Simplicity. Leave it as an end in itself. Don't be so mystical about it. Hallelujah. So in 2021, the year just started, you make up your mind and say, no matter how much comes to my account, I'm going to give this percentage to God. Yeah, see, you should make up your mind about what you want to give to God before you come to church. Don't let it be like when pastor says he's offering time, you now start looking for, you start touching. As if he shocked you. Or you don't know that you will give. So the first thing you do is pick your envelope. If you come early, you can pick an envelope today, take it home and bring it next week Sunday. You must make up your mind. As you prosper, God's work must move forward. You are laughing, you are laughing here. It's not spit I put inside the gem. Right? You are laughing here, you are laughing under AC. You are laughing under AC. You know, you are rejoicing. It's not spit. Mommy did not come on Saturday night. I'm trying to put in spit inside. And I said, Brazen, test the gen. Mommy did not come on. No, that's not what we did. There is no filling station in Abuja that gives us free diesel. Are we together? Yeah? There's no filling station in Abuja that gives us free diesel. Yeah, let's even thank God said that we're not going to pay an accommodation rent every month. Yeah? Maybe my neck would have been lean by now. My neck would have been lean by now. I have to forfeit all my lunch and breakfast throughout the whole week. Yeah? When the real sense, let me tell you something. The only thing that will make me go and bite more than what I can chew is covetousness. If I cannot afford it, why should I go to Transcorp to rent a room? And be putting the saints under pressure. Yeah? You know, a lot of times, you don't even understand the things that God calls you to do. That's why some people strategically look for locations where they can put their church. Because they're looking for what you call big fish. You know what I call big fish? Those that will bring money to support the church.
When you ask them, what is your rent per month? You are boasting that your rent per month is 10 million. How do you gather the money? You say, hey, there are 5 levels every member must give. If you don't give, you're under a curse. But as a saint, because you have the riches of God, you are bound towards that. Listen, I say, I'm God's rich man. Can we pray a little for this morning? Can we pray a little this morning? Pray in the Holy Ghost for a few seconds.